Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it is Minister Dante Fortson back with another episode of The Breakdown. Tonight we're going to be continuing our discussion from last time. We were talking about modern day Nephilim and where they could be hiding, if they are even on Earth. Will they be involved in the end times? So tonight's show is going to be a good one because we're going to jump into some more of the theories behind what could be going on. Now, if any time I cut out, those of you in the chat room, please feel free to let me know if you can hear me or not. I'm on a headset that tends to cut out from time to time. So what I'll do is I'll refresh the connection here and there, so you'll hear a slight pause while I'm talking, but nothing too big. Now, for those of you who have not read my book, As the Days of Noah Were, The Sons of God and the Coming Apocalypse, I cover this topic in depth. It is a very, very thorough book, and I get into a lot of information from a lot of different sources. So if you have an interest in Noah's flood, fallen angels, angel-human hybrids, the Nephilim, giants, all that stuff, go to Amazon.com, grab my book, As the Days of Noah Were, The Sons of God and the Coming Apocalypse. For those of you who are short on cash but still want a great book to read, go to my website, www.ministerfortson.com. You can grab a free copy of Hybrids Among Us, Transhumanism, and Genetic Armageddon. It's a 106-page book, I believe it is. It's absolutely free. All you have to do is put your email address in the box and sign up for free email alerts. All right, so last time, again, we were talking about the hybrids, and we talked about where are the hybrids. Many people have a problem with the modern-day hybrid theory, and the modern-day hybrid theory is based on Matthew chapter 24. Now, Jesus says, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And a lot of people, including myself, take that to mean the entire days of Noah. Now, some people, they stop at Genesis 6, which is the part about the Nephilim, but Noah's life continues all the way into chapter 9. We won't get into everything that Noah's life encompassed, but Noah's life included the Nephilim. And so many people believe that because of Jesus' statement that the end times would include the Nephilim. Also, Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, Daniel says, and they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Now, if they are mingling with the seed of men, they have to be something other than the seed of men. And before I continue, let me drop a disclaimer. A lot of times I am paraphrasing verses. Go check every verse for yourself. Read it for yourself word for word. I do not always quote word for word, especially when I'm, you know, talking, doing radio type of stuff, because it's kind of hard unless you have it right there in front of you. And plus, we're limited on time, so a lot of stuff will be paraphrased. But go look it up for yourself, Daniel 2:43, and they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And so this, along with Jesus' statement, has convinced a lot of people that there will be modern-day Nephilim. And if you don't know what the Nephilim are, there's a lot of resources you can Google. You can grab a bunch of stuff off of my site. I have tons of studies on the Nephilim, and you can always get my book, As the Days of Noah Were. So last time we talked about some of the theories of where the hybrids might be hiding. One theory we briefly discussed was on military bases. Now, there's a lot of stuff that goes on military bases. There are a lot of people who have reported seeing strange things on military bases, including strange creatures. So it is not out of the realm of possibility that the military could be hiding hybrids. Now, why would the military hide angel-human hybrids on a base? One solution, or I guess one answer to that question, would be that maybe they think they are something else, like alien-human hybrids. And that is something that comes up a lot when you get into this field of study. You start to hear a lot about abduction, alien abduction. And during some of these abductions, there are a lot of things that take place, which we'll get into shortly. But it's hard to ignore a lot of the things that are being said. Now, for those of you who think, you know, only crazy people believe in alien abduction, or only crazy people see UFOs, or, you know, it always happens in some backwater town or some country town, that's not true. When you really start to dig into the meat of the subject, you'll find that There are a lot of people from a lot of varied backgrounds, including U.S. presidents, that have witnessed UFOs. So this isn't just a thing for crazy people in small towns. Now, one thing that is prevalent is the alien abduction. And during some of these abductions, women report being raped by these alien entities, which leads to hybrid offspring. I'm going to jump back into that in a second. We're going to move on from the military bases. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So, military bases, that's one theory. Now, another theory is the hollow earth. We talked about that briefly. Many people believe that the center of the earth is hollow, so to speak. It's more in depth than that. I don't want to underplay what some of these people believe. I'm just kind of giving you the bullet point breakdown right now. If you're interested in the hollow earth, I would encourage you to Google it. There's a lot of good resources on Google. And also Rob Skiba, he's a good person to talk to about hollow earth. He knows a lot more about it than me. I do not ascribe to hollow earth personally. However, I will say this. I do believe that there are vast caves and systems and networks and possibly underground bases and all kind of stuff that go all throughout the planet. So I wouldn't say that I'm 100% against hollow earth, but I'm not as far into it as some groups. But many people believe that possible that these hybrids have escaped into the hollow earth, and also many people also believe that the hollow earth is where some of these hybrids may have gone during Noah's flood. Now, I don't believe that for several reasons. One I talked about last time was that the earth, when it was flooded, the fountains of the deep broke up. So water came from the bottom upward. And so I don't believe there's possible for anything to have survived. And the Bible is quite clear that everything on the planet, except for Noah, his family, and the creatures on the boat were wiped out. It says only eight souls were saved by water. And we briefly talked about the belief that Og, the king of Bashan, was one of the giants that stowed away on Noah's ark. Again, there's no biblical evidence that any giant stowed away on Noah's ark, but that is a theory. And a third theory that we covered last time was that these hybrids may be hiding on board UFOs. Now, this is one of the more, I guess you'd say, far-fetched theories. It goes along with Noah's flood. It starts there. Many people believe that because angels were in possession of flying craft, that some of them came down and took hybrids with them off of the earth before the flood. Now, is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? Not really. If they were just going to, snatch them off the earth before the flood anyway, there would have been no point for God to send the flood. But anyway, that's one of the theories. Now, many people are against the notion of modern-day Nephilim because, for whatever reason, not based on any actual biblical evidence, they think that the angels would be too scared to try this again because the first set of angels were punished. And again, as we look through history and different cultures, we see that there's stories of beings coming from the sky, impregnating human women all throughout history. This is a story that no matter what culture, no matter what race, no matter what religion people are, they have this story in common. And I don't believe that fallen angels are too scared to do anything because they are already destined for the lake of fire. Now, again, there's no biblical evidence that these angels wouldn't do it again. So chances are likely that there were other angels that came back and said, let's do this and let's try to save ourselves by contaminating the human race. So earlier I briefly mentioned alien abduction. And again, this is something you get into when you get into this subject. Are they really aliens or are they something pretending to be aliens? My research has shown me that what's going on is not really extraterrestrial abduction. They're not from other planets. They're not beings from another galaxy, so to speak. They are fallen angels masquerading as something else. Now, in Noah's day, people knew that these were fallen angels. Now, as you start to get into the times after the flood, people start referring to them as the gods, the lowercase gods. And even in the Bible, it refers to lowercase gods And one of the words it uses is Elohim, which is translated as God in certain places, and in other places is translated as God's lowercase g, but in reference to the angels. So you have this discrepancy there. Were they gods or were they angels? I personally believe they were angels. And as you start to travel throughout history, you start to hear other names. You hear fairies. They were abducting people and creating hybrids. You have the incubus. You have the succubus. We talked about that last time. They created Cambion, and we briefly touched on Merlin and how the story around him is that he was part human, part demon. I'm not saying Merlin really existed. I was just using him as an example of a hybrid person mentioned in history. Now, as we've come to more modern times, as our technology has increased and people have started to believe more in science, I guess you would say, that they have moved away from believing in angels and gods and fairies to saying, you know what, these things may have happened, but they were really extraterrestrials. And many of you, I'm sure, are aware of the show Ancient Aliens. They have a tendency to push the ancient astronaut theory. And this is one of the reasons that it's so important to really read your Bible, because if you don't, you will be deceived by some of the stuff that they're.
Yeah.
Me personally, I'm not a fan of Ancient Aliens because they omit a lot of truth in order to sway their listeners. One such thing that I always found to be an interesting argument was the Ark of the Covenant. Now, I believe his name is pronounced Georgios Tsoukalos. He is a proponent of the ancient astronaut theory, and he's also the producer of Ancient Aliens, I believe it is. I believe he's the producer. I'm not exactly sure on his title. But he's one of the producers of the show. Now, his thing about the Ark of the Covenant is that he likes to say that it was a nuclear device because of, you know, what would happen when they carried it in the Bible. And people would die. They would carry it in the battle, people would die. You touch it wrong, people would die. And so he pushes this theory that it was a nuclear device. However, what always amused me, and to this day I always find it interesting when people bring this argument up, how did the Hebrews avoid dying? They didn't have any lead suits that were impervious to nuclear radiation or any of that stuff. But they were carrying this box around killing other people, and he gives no explanation how it is that they didn't die while they were carrying this box around. So it's important to read your Bible and really know what's going on, and especially when you watch shows like Ancient Aliens. So let's talk about the fetuses being taken. I mentioned women were reporting being abducted, in some cases, not every case, raped, in some cases genetically or I guess artificially inseminated through a process, and then they became pregnant. Now, these women, some of them went to the doctor and the pregnancies were confirmed. Now, as you really start to dig into the subject more, it gets stranger and stranger. At some point during the pregnancy, many of these women report being re-abducted and having the fetuses removed. And then after that abduction, that's the second abduction, there is later a third abduction in which the child is either presented to them as a baby and they're allowed to hold the child, or in some cases the child has aged significantly and they're allowed to meet the child. So this is one of those things that it gets weirder and weirder if you look at the progression of events. And none of them really have any idea why exactly they were allowed to see their child or hold their child or meet their child later on in this process. But for whatever reason, they believe that these are the order of events. And it seems to be pretty consistent. Again, no matter what race, creed, religion, color, any of that, people are pretty consistent in this story. Now, there are also people who weren't impregnated, men, women, sometimes children, that report seeing hybrids or what they believe to be hybrids on board, hybrid alien humans on board. And again, I use this term alien very loosely. I'm using the word that they use to describe the beings on board. And again, I believe that they are fallen angels. So people report seeing these hybrids on board. And they look similar to humans, but there's a small difference. And the differences, you know, change based on encounters. But you have to ask, why do people who have no religious background, no background in believing, you know, the days of Noah involved Nephilim and angels and sex with humans. They don't have that type of background, and yet they're reporting beings from the sky coming, taking human women and creating hybrid children, just as it was in the days of Noah. They have no religious dog in this fight. They aren't involved in the discussion of whether there will be modern-day Nephilim or not. They are completely neutral parties, as close to neutral as you can get. And yet and still, they are reporting biblical prophecy as predicted by Christ and as predicted by Daniel. And they're confirming it. So these hybrids on board, they usually don't have too much interaction with these people. I haven't read any cases where the person can remember having a conversation with any of these hybrids, just more so meeting them. Now, what would be the point of modern-day Nephilim? That's a question we really have to ask ourselves. What would be the point in fallen angel coming back and creating more Nephilim? And I believe it has several layers here. One, I've talked about this plenty of times before. Fallen angels coming back and pretending to be aliens solves a lot of dilemma as far as leading people away from Christ. Their big thing is they have to lead people away from Christ in mass. So if you're a fallen angel and you have access to both technology and superhuman abilities, and you can just come and say, hey, I'm an alien, people are going to believe that. Now, let's say this fallen angel who's posing as an alien decides to tell people, you know, we are intelligent designers, but we created you using evolution. Now, that solves the problem of why people who believe in a religion, and again, I'm not just pointing out Christianity here, but Muslim, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, any host of religions that believe in a God. Now, they believe in intelligent design for the most part. So when you have this being come and say, you know, we are the creators, that's why you have evidence of intelligent design, that satisfies that group of people. But when that same being says we used evolution, that satisfies the scientists. And so now you have two belief systems have merged into one. You have science and religion who have been at odds but shouldn't be. They have been at odds for centuries. They have now merged together because this one being has answered that question. Was it God or was it evolution? Well, according to that being, it was both. Now, what would be the point of introducing a hybrid? Probably to, I guess, broker a peace treaty. Now, some people believe that the Antichrist will be a hybrid. I'm not entirely sure one way or the other. However, I do have strong leanings that he may be Satan's son, Satan's direct son, when he appears on the scene, mostly because Satan is bound for 1,000 years in chains of darkness. And if you do the research into what happened during the days of Noah, those angels were also bound in chains of darkness. If you go to 2 Peter, if you go to Jude, it talks about that. It talks about those angels being bound. Also, the reference in Jude is a direct reference from the book of Enoch. He even says Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." He quotes from the book of Enoch, and then Peter references a passage from the book of Jude. I'm sorry, from the book of Enoch. So we have all these references to beings coming. Now, the Antichrist, again, if he is a hybrid, he may be able to broker in a peace treaty, I guess you'd say, or maybe some kind of living arrangement or whatever the case may be between these so-called aliens and the human species. Now, Daniel says they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Now, what is it doing the mingling? It's not men. They are mingling with the seed of men. And many people have proposed that it might be clones. Now, I don't think it will be clones for the simple fact that these people watch too many movies and too much TV, and they have no clue how cloning works. Cloning is real genetic material manipulated to look like the person that it came from. They are still people. It isn't some kind of mushy goo in a laboratory that they stamp out people with. That's not how cloning works. Cloning is done on a genetic level. There's still a sperm. There's still an egg. A real person is still produced, and they still have to grow up. They're not accelerated in some kind of machine. They still have to grow up, and they are still people, which would make them men, not as in the male gender, but men as in mankind in general. That would still make them men mingling with men, not in the homosexual sense, but mankind mingling with mankind. Now, according to Daniel, whatever is mingling with mankind has to be something other than mankind. So I hope you're following along with what I'm saying. I hope I didn't confuse anybody there. So they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Now, that may be the point for the hybrid. And then, of course, if you've ever seen the TV show and movie Alien Nation, people start to mix and you have half alien, half human hybrids running on all around everywhere. And this goes into one of the reasons that I believe Jesus made the statement in Matthew 24:22, that unless these days are shortened, no flesh should be saved. Part of this agenda, it seems to be to stop the fulfillment of prophecy. Now, in order for Christ to return and save people, there have to be people left. There has to be people left. People are close to being wiped out, closer than we realize. And the reason I say that is because people look at, you know, what wars are going on. Are we okay? Here in America, we don't have a war going on where there are bombs and stuff dropping around us 24/7. Other countries have that all the time. We don't have starvation here on a mass level like many of the other countries, famine and stuff. So if you look at what's going on, if you have this hybrid invasion, this alien invasion, where people start to mix and you start to dilute the human race, that slowly wipes out the human population. Then you look at hybridization on top of that, where people, well, transhumanism more specifically, transhumanism, where people are trying to combine themselves with animals by taking shots. Somatic parahumans is something that I talk about in my book, As the Days of Noah Were. I've talked about it on my website. I've talked about it on different radio shows. A somatic parahuman is a person who can be turned into a hybrid after they've been born. So someone my age, I'm about to be 33 in November, someone my age could go to the doctor, get a shot, inject myself. It'll change my DNA, manipulate my DNA, cross it with animal DNA, and give me eyesight like an eagle or strength like a bear or, you know, any number or combinations of things. The combinations are really probably endless. Now, the technology hasn't been perfected yet, but it is in the works. So this right here is one of the reasons I believe that Jesus said, if you take the mark of the beast, and again, it could be a literal beast he's talking about, a mark of the beast. It could be something that the Antichrist has, I guess, implemented to where you are no longer fully human once you take this mark. The mark of the beast, you become part animal or part whatever it is. And again, I'm not saying this is 100% for certain. I'm saying this is a possibility. You take that mark of the beast, you're no longer human and therefore no longer redeemable because Jesus died to save mankind. He didn't die to save animal-human hybrids or alien-human hybrids. He died to save mankind. So I believe that may be a possibility why Jesus said, if you take that mark of the beast, it's permanent. You're not going to heaven. You're not getting in. It's an unforgivable sin. It's taking that mark. Now, I would encourage you to go through Revelation and read that for yourself. It is not a reversible thing. You can't just pray for forgiveness, take the mark, and pray for forgiveness, and it's all good. No, that is a irreversible decision. So you have transhumanism in here. And then you have wars. We have wars going on all around us. There's constantly wars. Republican president is a war. Democrat president, there's a war. Next president, probably going to be a war. There's constant war, 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 war. Everywhere. Everybody's getting dragged in, dragged out. We have famine all over the place. Many countries. Not necessarily in America as harsh. I mean, we do have our droughts and things like that. But I mean, I'm talking about famine where people are dying for lack of food. And then you have diseases and pestilence all over the world. If you remember the Ebola scare a few months back, I think it was 12 people out of millions died. 12 people out of millions. More people died from secondhand smoke than died from Ebola, and yet we had Ebola warnings through the roof. And I believe that there's other diseases out there that could wipe out mass amounts of people. Same thing with bird flu. I believe a lot of these diseases that are being cooked up, and they're just scaring us, scaring us, scaring us, and they have to constantly keep I guess you say, a level of fear going. That's why I really try to ignore a lot of these things. But there are diseases out there that can kill you, and I believe those will probably kick up. So with the hybrids, transhumanism, sorry, wars, disease, famine, pestilence, all those in combinations threaten to wipe out the human race in the end times. And I believe that Jesus said, or I believe what Jesus said, unless those days are shortened, no flesh should be saved. And I believe that that's what's really going to happen and what it's going to come down to. And so when you ask the question, why don't we see any modern day Nephilim? Again, there are various reasons why we don't see any modern day Nephilim, but I believe the reason that there will be modern day Nephilim is to subvert the fulfillment of prophecy. These angels are desperate and they will do anything to avoid the lake of fire. They have nothing to lose. So when you hear these guys saying that they're scared, so they won't do it because they don't want to get thrown into Tartarus, that makes no sense. The lake of fire to me seems a lot worse than Tartarus. A lot worse. So what do? You risk getting thrown in Tartarus for however long, and then you end up in the lake of fire anyway, but you have the possibility of subverting God. I'm not saying that they'll succeed. I'm saying in their mind, they have the possibility to stop God and avoid the lake of fire. Or they can just sit back and say, you know what, we can't have sex with any women because we're going to get tossed in Tartarus and we're going to go to the lake of fire anyway, so let's do nothing. Desperate beings in desperate situations. You heard the saying, desperate times call for desperate measures. And again, I think this is why that they are not above doing that. So for those of you who listened, tuned in tonight, I hope you enjoyed the show. We're actually coming down on the last couple of minutes, and I wanted to remind you, do not forget your free book. Go to ministerfortson.com. All you have to do is drop your email address in the box, and you can get a free copy of Hybrids Among Us, Transhumanism, and Genetic Armageddon, along with a bunch of other free goodies in the email. Make sure you check your email for that confirmation email. When you open it up, you'll find links to a bunch of goodies that I have for you, not just that one book. There may be another book in there. I won't say yes or no. You may get two free books. But make sure you visit ministerfortson.com, put your email address in the box, and get your free books. So until next time, have a safe and blessed weekend. I will be back sooner than you think with another episode.